Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at tailormade101.com. Once again, it is great to be with you. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Jima, back to the show. Jima is the director of training at TaylorMade Training and Consulting and the author of the famous Ask Jima blog. To check out her latest posts, go to askjima.blogspot.com. That's askjema.blogspot.com. And man, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up shortly, our very special guest, Carol Wilson, will be joining us. Now, Carol is going to help us get going in losing weight with our weight loss. You know, not too long ago, people were making all of these New Year's resolutions about losing weight. So Carol is going to help us work out all of the details now that we're about midway through the month. Now, in fact, Carol is a multi-certified fitness professional in Dallas-Fort Worth area. She develops custom workout nutrition programs for individuals, couples, children, or groups based on their unique strengths, challenges, and goals. I am very excited about having her on today. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101. And today I'm broadcasting live via my website. So go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Live Broadcast. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, each week I do a piece called Moment of Reflection. This week, we will focus on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Now, historically, when we talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., we put him in the context of the speech that he made on the March on Washington. Most people call it "I Die, I Have a Dream" speech, which is really not the name of it, but that is what's most recognized. But one of the, I guess, the most famous writings that I remember from Dr. King was his letter from the Birmingham jail. And I'm going to read that letter in this moment of reflection that was written by Dr. King on April the 16th, 1963. And it reads as follows. "My dear fellow clergymen, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. Seldom do I pause to answer criticism of my work and ideas. If I sought to answer all the criticisms that crossed my desk, my secretaries would have little time for anything other than such correspondence in the course of the day, and I would have no time for constructive work. But since I feel that you are men of genuine goodwill and that your criticisms are sincerely set forth, I want to try to answer your statement in what I hope will be patient and reasonable terms. I think I should indicate why I'm here in Birmingham, since you have been influenced by the view which argues against outsiders coming in. I have the honor of serving as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference an organization operating in every southern state with headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. We have some 85 affiliated organizations across the South, and one of them is the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights. Frequently, we share staff, educational, and financial resources with our affiliates. Several months ago, the affiliate here in Birmingham asked us to be on call to engage in a nonviolent direct action program if such were deemed necessary. We readily consented, and when the hour came, we lived up to our promise. So I, along with several members of my staff, am here because I was invited here. I am here because I have organizational ties here. But more basically, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century B.C. left their villages and carried their "Thus said the Lord" far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. You deplore the demonstrations taking place in Birmingham, but your statement, I am sorry to say, fails to express a similar concern for the conditions that brought about demonstrations. I am sure that none of you would want to rest content with the superficial kind of social analysis that deals merely with effects and does not grapple with underlying causes. It is unfortunate that demonstrations are taking place in Birmingham, but it is even more unfortunate that the city's white power structure left the Negro community with no alternative. In a nonviolent campaign, in any nonviolent campaign, there are four basic steps: collection of the facts to determine whether injustice exists, negotiation, self-purification, and direct action. We have gone through all these steps in Birmingham. There can be no gainsaying the fact that racial injustice engulfs this community. Birmingham is probably the most thoroughly segregated city in the United States. Its ugly record of brutality is widely known. Negroes have experienced grossly unjust treatment in the courts. There have been more unsolved bombings of Negro homes and in churches in Birmingham than in any other city in the nation. These are the hard, brutal facts of the case. On the basis of these conditions, Negro leaders sought to negotiate with the city fathers, but the latter consistently refused to engage in good faith negotiations. Then, last September, came the opportunity to talk with leaders of Birmingham's economic community. In the course of the negotiations, certain promises were made by the merchants. For example, to remove the stores humiliating racial signs. On the basis of these promises, the Reverend Fred Southersworth and the leaders of the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights agreed to a moratorium on all demonstrations. As the weeks and months went by, we realized that we were the victims of a broken promise. A few signs, briefly removed, returned. The others remain. As in so many past experiences, our hopes have been blasted and the shadow of deep disappointment settled upon us. We had no alternative except to prepare for the direct action whereby we would present our very bodies as a means of laying our case before the conscience of the local and the national community. Mindful of the difficulties involved, we decided to undertake a process of self-purification. We began a series of workshops on nonviolence, and we repeatedly asked ourselves, are you able to accept blows without retaliating? Are you able to endure the ordeal of jail? We decided to schedule our direct action program for the Easter season, realizing that except for Christmas, this is the main shopping period of the year. Knowing that a strong economic withdrawal program would be the product of direct action, we felt that this would be the best time to bring pressure to bear on the merchants for the needed change. Now, there's more to the letter, of course, but it's too much to read in a short period of time, and I'm too much of a humble servant to really even do it any justice. But I can say Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in his infinite wisdom, understood one thing very well. The pulse of America is really in his pocketbook. Now, this was echoed again and again. I mean, there's an example in 1955 when the Montgomery boycott, the Poor People's Campaign, and if you notice in the speech when he was on Washington, he talked about the insufficient funds on the check. Now, my argument is simply this. The African-American struggle in the United States is not one of race, but of economics. Surely there exists racial disparity and hatred, but it is my judgment that if the African-American focus on green instead of black or white, the despair that exists would be marginal at best. Now, I would love to get your comments. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And today I'm broadcasting live via my website. You can go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Live Broadcast. And when we return, we're going to take some calls and speak with Ask Jima. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club, or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Okay, welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. And before we take some calls, before we open up our lines completely, I'm going to get Ask Jima on the line. We're going to got a few questions. I would like to get her take on this. So before the break, I mentioned my recollection of his legacy, and I would argue that most of it was about economics, not just racial inequality. It was evidence in his language, his rhetoric, and all the things that he did with respect to the movement. Now, if people want to put him in a box that says, well, racial disparity is with his main cause, I would say the subtitle of everything he did was really and truly about economics. Now, Jima, what are your thoughts?
I would be inclined to agree with you on that part. I think for the most part, there's been this concerted effort throughout the years to shape history in such a manner that makes us comfortable. So it's comfortable and easy to hear, "I have a dream," because everybody has dreams. And so, but we forget, as you stated in your opening, about the beginning part of that speech. Well, it does speak to America not holding true to her promise, as it relates to people of color. So I agree. I think Dr. King was more than just what we have tried to put him in a box to be. He really was about economic. As you stated, at the end of his life, that's what he was working for and on, the Poor People's Campaign and the labor unions and all of those sorts of things. They didn't want him to show up in Memphis and told him not to come, as a matter of fact. So all of those things is what he was working on toward the end of his life.
Yeah, I remember listening to some of his speech every year. You know, I try to catch, you know, just try to look back. You know, his celebration of his birthday would be, of course, recognized tomorrow, but his actual birthday was on yesterday. And so over the next few days, you know, within those periods every year, I try to just kind of go back and just listen to him and try to do a little bit more research on him and his life and his legacy. And what I see basically as he matured throughout that short span where he was really taking on some of the major issues, he really was saying, well, look, if I really look at things, yeah, there are some racial disparities, but when you come to think of it, there's poor black people and poor white people. So we really need to be focusing on economic injustices as opposed to just these racial disparities. Now, you know, granted, you know, the history speaks for itself, and we can go on and on and talk about, you know, what happened to African Americans in our history. But as I see Martin Luther King Jr. evolved, I saw him, and I look back at his life, he really focused on, you know, a lot of the economic disparities. So my next question to you, what do you remember most about Dr. King's legacy?
Well, it's interesting. That's an interesting question because what I remember from growing up, it was just about the Dream and the Montgomery bus boycott and the letters from the Birmingham jail. And it wasn't until I was older that I began to dig a little bit deeper into, you know, surely there was more than just the part of the speech that everybody can quote. And it was when I first read the whole I Have a Dream speech, which, as you stated, that wasn't even the original title. I was like, well, wait a minute. This has a lot to do with a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
And so I think he was more than just this man who wanted peace and harmony. He wanted to get to the root cause of what was causing people to be poor and poverty. He was working very early on with Marion Wright Elderman. I mean, that's why he started the Poor People's Campaign. So there, you know, I read a book a couple of years ago on the 40th anniversary of his assassination by Dr. Michael Eric Dyson entitled April 4th, 1968. And I would have to say it was probably one of the most eye-opening books I've ever read in my life about Dr. King, because it didn't paint him as some sort of God, larger than life. He was a man and mm-hmm. dealt with issues every day as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was probably one of the most profound books I've ever read in my life on Dr. King.
Wow. Now, you know, I remember doing I think it was the presidential debate when somebody posed the question to the now President Obama, that was then Senator Obama, what do you think Dr. Martin Luther King would say about your presidency? And he responded, you know, in such a way. And so I want to pose that question to you. What do you think that Dr. King would say about the first couple of years of President Obama's first term?
Well, I think he would be critical somewhat of the wars that we're in right now and what's the true purpose behind them. I'm pretty sure he'd be critical of that. He would be critical of the fact that the wealth gap between African Americans and whites continues to grow, and there doesn't seem to be a plan in place to help decrease that. He would be concerned about the violence in the streets with guns and the rate of poverty, the rate of kids not being educated properly. So there's, I mean, although he would be, you know, as some of us have been throughout these last couple of years, you know, happy about the fact that in this time in our life we have seen something that most of us never thought would be possible, we also know that there's so much work left to be done that we don't have time to sit down and celebrate. This is just one lap of a very long run, a very long journey. So there's nothing to be, oh, we've made it, because we haven't. And I think he would recognize that. He would say, this was good, but there's so much more work to do. Because
right.
we still have, he was about service and serving the least of these. And if we fail to serve the least of these, and as a Christian, whom as a reverend he recognized that as Christians and to be Christ-like, we must serve the least of these. And he would see that as a nation and as a race of people, we're failing to do that.
So what prevents most of us from doing that? I mean, it's obviously we have the means or the capability to, but, you know, as you said, serving the least of these, there's very few accounts of that happening today.
Well, and that's because we bought into the notion that I can get mine so you can go get yours too.
Mm-hmm.
It's all secular in my opinion. So if I just go out and do it and I can do it, then you ought to be able to go out and do it. And we very seldom take a look at people's circumstances and environments and mental health issues, and there's so many things that can hinder a person. And yet you put all that on top. And then you look at the fact that in reality, black people are still lag behind in every area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe back in the 60s, the unemployment rate was at 8.4%. So
mm-hmm.
here we are in 2011, and what's changed? We still have the highest unemployment rate.
Right. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101. Today I'm broadcasting live via my website, and that's TaylorMade101.com, and click on Live Broadcast. Up next, we have Carol Wilson. Now, as I said in the introduction, Carol is a multi-certified fitness professional in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She develops custom workout nutrition programs for individuals, couples, children, or a group based on their unique strengths, challenges, and goals. Now, I am really glad and excited to have Carol on the show today because basically, I've been struggling with, you know, weight gain and weight loss and diet and nutrition. So it is good to have her on the show today so she can help us all with these issues. Carol, you there?
Hi, Patrick. I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now tell the millions of Blog Talk Radio listeners out there a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. Like you said, I'm a multi-certified fitness professional, and I've got almost 20 years experience. I've been doing this for a long time, and I love what I do. No one has a better job than I do. I get to transform lives and help people get healthy and fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm originally from Massachusetts. I grew up in Boston, but my people are from Louisiana, and I'm just thrilled to be in Dallas. I've been in Dallas for over 10 years, and I'm a transplant. I call myself a transplant, and I will be here. This is where I'm stopping. Love the South, love Dallas. So, yep, that's me.
All right, now. You talked about this is your passion. No one has a better job than you. You know, I say the same thing about the things that I do within technology. So deep down inside, what drives you? What keeps you waking up every morning with this on your mind?
Well, Patrick, let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Several years ago, almost 20 years ago, I gained almost 50 pounds, roughly. And you know, I guess I would have been okay. I could have learned to live with it. However, you know, when I look at my family who has a history of being overweight and obese and the health conditions that go along with it, I decided that I had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So my journey back to a healthy size kind of jump-started my career and my passion for what I do. So every day I get up, what drives me is that, like I said, I get to help somebody get healthy, get fit, and possibly have a longer life or a better quality of life going forward. So, yeah, that's it. There's a lot of people that need my help.
So, okay, I mean, I got a confession, too. Let me tell you a story. The other day, I was at the VA clinic. I served 12 years, 11 days, and 12 years, 11 months, 15 days in the United States Army. And over the last several years, I got out in like 2000, some time frame. And every year, I gained maybe 2 or 3 pounds per year. But it was really unnoticeable to me in my eyes. I guess, you know, you go out and you buy some more clothes, you kind of just, you know, not really thinking about it, and life passes you by, things happen. And so I went to the VA for a checkup the other day, and the doctor says, she used this term, obese, right? So, and they use the term overweight. Can you kind of explain the difference between obesity and overweight? And because she was telling me that because I was in that danger zone, my health was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about the difference.
Okay. That's actually a great question. So, you know, because of our lifestyle, because we have, you know, a plentiful supply of food, and because we're pretty much sanitary, we don't, most people don't, in the U.S., I'm talking about the U.S., most people don't voluntarily exercise. We're not too active. We watch a lot of TV. We sit in front of the computer a lot. We go to the movies. We go out to eat. We do things that involve a lot of sitting as opposed to a lot of movement. So overweight is generally defined as having more body fat than is optimally healthy. And it's a pretty common condition here in the United States. I believe the statistics say about 65% of the people in the United States are overweight or obese. You know, they have more body fat than is optimal for their health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is measured by something called BMI, which is body mass index, which is basically a measurement of your height to your mass, so basically your width to your height. So once your body reaches a certain roundness as opposed, you know, to your height,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to say you're overweight or obese. The numbers are 25 and 30 is considered overweight. That's considered pre-obesity,
mm-hmm.
okay? So when you hit those numbers, it's kind of a warning signal that says, hey, I need to do something because I'm getting into the danger zone, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over 30 is considered obese. And obesity is now considered a medical condition in which excess body fat is accumulated to the extent that it may have an adverse effect on your health. Medically speaking, they feel like this could lead to reduced life expectancy or, at the very least, increased health problems. So that's why, going back, you asked me what drives me. If every day I get to help somebody avoid or reduce life expectancy or avoid some health problems, you know, that's a great thing.
Right.
So, yeah. So, and here's a really interesting thing about this. the crazy thing, Patrick, is that obesity is the leading preventable cause of death worldwide.
Wow.
I mean, it's like it takes out, it's on the increase. Statistically, they say, you know, it's the biggest epidemic of our age, but it's the number one thing that you could prevent yourself. More times than not, it's totally preventable, or at least controllable.
Hmm.
So that's the sad part.
Now, so there's also this, I'm going to say this $25 word term called visceral fat. And I hear people talk about visceral fat because, and from my background and research, because I'm in those zones now, I'm a little concerned about, you know, what these things mean and what they are. And so it talks about, because we are in that, you know, we're 75% of the world, or 65% of the U.S. overweight and obese, is the fact that visceral fat, because that fat around our stomach, it sends those negative enzymes, those juices, to our organs, because they're right around, you know, the heart and the intestines and all those organs in our middle part of our body. That fat is really, really bad. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, sometimes called intra-abdominal fat.
Mm-hmm.
It does, you're right, refer to the fat that surrounds your internal organ.
Mm-hmm.
Subcutaneous fat is another term for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually close to the skin surface. It's not close to the skin surface, and you're right, it's, you know, it surrounds the organs, and it goes to the heart, and it's more deeply embedded in the body's tissue. And sometimes you could be within a healthy weight range but still have too much visceral fat. So that goes to speak to how you're eating. It interferes with, bottom line, you're asking me, it interferes with how our internal organs are able to function efficiently. Your liver metabolizes it and releases it into the bloodstream as cholesterol. Okay, now we have possible cholesterol issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are, I guess, familiar with the HDL and the LDLs of cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that more when we talk about food, but it builds up into, the LDL could build up into plaque that blocks your arteries. But again, you know, it's a preventable thing. You know, you can change the way you're eating, the amount of exercise that you get, and really what they recommend is not outrageous. Most people, if they would do it, they could fit it into their schedule somewhere.
Now, so I think what I've gathered from you, I understand the problem. I understand that, you know, that I understand the difference between overweight and obesity. I kind of understand that the visceral fat is really causing a lot of this poison to leak into my internal organs that is causing, you know, high cholesterol, heart failure, and all these things. So, since we know this, can I go out and get a pill to cure this thing? Can I should be able to buy a pill, right? I buy a pill and I'm good, I'm cured, and now I can still continue to live my lifestyle, right?
Okay. So, you know, I should name myself anti-drug girl. And the reason is because most drugs, if you look into it, most drugs have some kind of side effect. And so I'm going to answer that question by saying, yes, you could go out and get a pill. And kind of, no, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You could go get a pill that would help you lose weight. But I'm promising you, and remember now, I'm talking 20 years experience, kind of a long time. The results that you get, whatever weight loss you get, is going to be temporary.
Okay.
Yeah. So you cannot maintain weight loss by taking a pill. So, Patrick, you're going to take a pill, diet pill, for the rest of your life, and then let's think about what possible side effects that's going to have, again, on your internal organ or your, you know, your system is like a finely tuned machine. I'm sure you've heard this. And when God made us, he actually made us perfectly and everything works in balance together. And when we introduce these other things, it throws something off, which throws something else off, which throws something else off, so forth and so on. So, yeah, you could go get a diet pill, but unless you plan on taking it for the rest of your life, and who knows what harm that's going to do you, you're not going to be able to sustain that weight loss.
You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And we have a very special guest today. Our special guest is Carol Wilson. She's a multi-certified fitness professional in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She develops custom workout nutrition programs for individuals, couples, children, or groups based on their unique strengths, challenges, and goals. So, Carol, now,
yes, sir.
So I can't take a pill. Well, what about, is there a diet that I can go, that fits everybody's needs? Is there a one-size-fits-all type of diet then?
Okay, again, I'm going to say yes and no. I don't believe in diets.
Okay.
To me, a diet indicates something
temporary.
Extreme or temporary or, yeah. I've been around for a while, so I've seen all the diets, the cabbage soup diet, the lemonade diet, this and that. But basically, anytime you have a eating plan that excludes any, nutritious member of the food group,
mm-hmm.
The grapefruit diet, I'm going to eat grapefruit, and that's going to, the citrus is going to burn out the fat, whatever. Yeah, I'd be wary of that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes all the nutrients in balance. And then depending on your situation, you may need more nutrients than others. But the diet or the eating plan that kind of fits everybody is natural and healthy eating. That pretty much will fit everybody. There is no, fad diet or retail diet that's going to help everybody or even anybody in the long run. And I'm saying that cautiously because I know people that have lost lots of weight on, like, Weight Watchers. But Weight Watchers is kind of designed around just basic healthy eating. And they just put it together in a manageable way for people to keep track of it. But basically, your diet answer is to eat healthy. Okay, what's eating healthy? Eating healthy is, here's the hard part, eating 5 to 6 small meals a day. So it's like every 2 or 3 hours. You would never get hungry. So on a diet, you're eating these small amounts. You're probably starving yourself to death, which is also not good. So if you eat 5 or 6 small meals a day and you make sure that you get lots of green vegetables, good lean protein in the forms of fish or chicken or turkey or beef, as long as it's nice and lean, not fried, watch the oils and the butters and the sugars and the salts. If you ate clean, yeah, that's a diet that fits everybody. And it would absolutely help you lose weight.
All right.
But more than that, Patrick,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
your insides would be healthy and happy. You'd have more energy.
Okay. All right, so when we return, we're going to ask Carol a little bit of for a couple of secrets. So what are some of the secret meals or what are some of the good things to do and try out? All right? You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today our special guest is Carol Wilson. Carol Wilson is a multi-certified fitness professional in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She develops custom workout nutrition programs for individuals, couples, children, or groups based on their unique strengths, challenges, and goals. Now, Carol, so obviously the questions I asked were the ones that I had the most problem with, right? I talked about overweight. I talked about obesity. I asked about a pill. You said no pill. I asked you about a one diet. You said no diets. Okay, so you started out by talking about eating the small meals a day and lots of green vegetables. So give us, what's the true secret to losing weight or a healthy lifestyle?
Honestly, Patrick, the true secret, I'm going to give you my two biggest, greatest tips, and they're so simple, you're just going to not even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
The first tip is think about what you're eating. That's my big tip for the day. Think about it. Most people just eat. They eat on automatic. Mm-hmm. They eat when they think they're hungry. They eat when they see food. They eat when they're around food, whatever. Before you put something in your mouth, just think about it. Think about what it is you're eating. So, instead of running through McDonald's, actually, McDonald's has came out with a really good thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
For breakfast, I just heard this. I think it was yesterday. They've now got, like, oatmeal with raisins and cranberries and apples with a little bit of brown sugar.
Wow.
So there's a good – yeah, that sounds pretty good. I haven't checked out the nutritional stats on it, but it sounds pretty good. So if you're one of those people that runs to McDonald's and gets a – McMuffin or whatever, there's another choice.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're getting ready to eat, think about what you're eating. We all kind of know, we have some like vague guidelines of what we should not be eating. We kind of know that.
Mm-hmm.
So make the best choice that you can when you get ready to eat. That's one big tip.
Mm-hmm.
My next huge tip, I'm going to give you three. My next huge tip is everybody has got to eat breakfast.
Okay.
Let me give you a statistic. If you will eat breakfast within the first, like, hour of getting up, within an hour of getting up,
mm-hmm.
you could burn up to 25% more calories in your day. Why? Because your body goes into stasis at night, kind of like a computer. It powers down. And it's not really going to kick back up into high power mode until you feed it. And it's going to kickstart your metabolism and everything's going to start burning and churning. Got to eat breakfast.
Okay.
And now, so, you know, I've heard all the excuses, I don't get up in time, I don't like eating breakfast, whatever, I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's my third big secret, and this is about exercise. Because I usually find with my clients, I can get them to exercise or eat right, but it's hard to get people to do both.
Right.
If one works and the other one works, imagine what will happen if you put them together.
Right.
Okay, my big tip on exercise is go find a workout buddy. I cannot tell you how successful that will make you, because if you find someone who will work out with you, you have accountability. The days that you don't feel like it, they'll be kicking you in the butt going, come on, we got to go. Vice versa. It's more fun. You have someone to laugh with or sweat with or, you know, huff and puff with when it's getting tough. You have someone to compare success stories with. It's a great tool to success. I'm going to give you one more tip on exercise.
Okay.
And that is people are, like, so concerned about starting exercise regimes, and I think people are a little bit confused on what they should do when they're thinking, their thought is that they have to do something extreme, but the fact is, Patrick, the tip is consistency, and it can be something as simple as walking. The studies show that adults should get about 30 minutes of moderate, we're going to call it cardio exercise, a day. And that could be as simple as walking. Got a dog? Go walk your dog every day. When I remember I said I was overweight some years back? That's how I started losing my weight. I walked my dog twice a day, in the morning before I went to work and in the evening before I went to bed. Walk my dogs twice a day. So don't have a dog, walk with your kids. Go play frisbee with them. Follow your neighbor's kids. You know, there's really no excuses. Patrick, there's just no excuses other than we just don't take the time and energy to make it a priority in our life to do it. But the fact is that, as you can see, I was telling you about health concerns, it is very important. It's very important. And what's more important than taking care of yourself?
You know, I blogged about this the other day about the fact that, you know, it wasn't really an eye-opening experience for me until, you know, the doctor was saying, well, I mean, if you exercise and you eat right, you can live a long, you live a long life. But if you don't, the opposite is true. I mean, the fact that here I am, you know, again, you know, 10 years out of the military, was, you know, have gained probably 3 pounds per year within the last 10 years. And so here I am. At the crossroads, really, at the cusp, would be going one way or the other. So, I mean, if life, liberty, and this pursuit of happiness is not motivation enough for me to get out of my rear end and begin to exercise, and the fact that I have a son that, you know, I would love to see graduate from college. I mean, those are things that should be motivating enough, as opposed to me just saying I want to look good. I mean, so looking good is important, but all of the real, you know, lifelong lessons of longevity and all the things like that should be just as important. So I have made a concerted effort to make sure that I'm going to follow these tips, right? The first one you said is to think about what you eat. The second one you said is to always eat breakfast. And if you eat so within 1 hour, you'll begin to burn, your metabolism will be able to kick in. And the third tip you said is, of course, had two parts. One, go find a workout buddy because it gives you accountability, it's fun, and it allows you to compare success stories. And the second thing you said is consistency. And you gave a couple of examples on some of the things. So I'm going to take heed to these things, and I really appreciate you sharing those tips because I think, you know, we started out at the beginning of the year talking about, you know, New Year's resolution and people want to lose weight. But here we are 2 weeks in. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there have you know, begin to give up or just, you know, not believing that this can happen for them. And I want to be encouraging to them that try these tips out because I know they will work because I'm going to be trying them throughout the year and I'm going to be reporting back that says here's where I am and some of the things that I'm going to continue. Now, hopefully we can invite you back on within a few months and I can tell you about, you know, my success story.
That will be great, Patrick. And, you know, Patrick, if you need my help or if you have any questions, just feel free to contact me. And well, I'm going to add one more thing real quick, and that is make sure that you get enough water, drink a lot of water. I just blogged about this on my blog spot, and believe it or not, water will help you lose weight.
Wow.
We don't have time for it now, but you can go read the blog on the blog spot. Mm-hmm. Water will actually make everything work more efficiently and will help you lose weight. So gotta get lots of water.
So tell the listeners out there how they can get in contact with you. Tell them the services that you provide. Tell people how to get in contact with you so they can kickstart their diets.
Okay. Well, my website is www.msfitpro.com. So that's www.msfitpro.com. My blog, which I encourage everybody to go on to because I give lots of tips and healthy recipes and so forth and so on there is www.misfitpro.blogspot.com. So again, www.misfitpro.blogspot.com. You can reach me by phone at 214-642-5122 or 214-828-1212. And the services that we provide here are Pilates, personal training, boot camp style group trainings, nutrition, counseling, and Zumba, actually.
Hmm.
So, you know, basically your listeners are welcome to come in for a free evaluation to kind of, you know, if they're interested in knowing where they are or, you know, what can they do. You know, I'm happy to give the advice. They just need to contact me.
Outstanding. Again, the website is misfitpro.com. That's MSFITPRO.com. And the blog is misfitpro.blogspot.com. That's MISFITPRO.blogspot.com. And the numbers to reach her is 214-642-5122 or 214-828-1212. All right, Carol, we only have a few minutes remaining. So, in summary, what are your final thoughts?
Well, in summary, I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, take stock of where they are and get started. My success stories come from the fact that the people stepped out and got started. If you get out and get started, you can make it. I mean, absolutely, people can make it. You just got to be committed and make it a priority, just like anything else in your life, like going to get your nails done or going to get your hair done or get your car washed or whatever. You know, it's important. It's I can't even stress how important it is. This is your life. This is your health. That's all you have. So it absolutely can be done, and need somebody to help you. Like I said, you know, find a trainer, find a friend, join a class. That's, you know, that's going to make it more fun for you. But the bottom line is you got to get started. So my famous quote is, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You just got to get started.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
So, yeah, my final thoughts are, you know, I'm encouraging everybody to get started because I want everybody to be healthy and fit and live a long, productive life.
Great. Again, the website is www.misfitpro.com. That's MSFITPRO.com. And the blog is misfitpro.blogspot.com. Again, that's MSFITPRO.blogspot.com. And the numbers to reach her are 214-642-5122 or 214-828-1212. Her name is Carol Wilson. Please give her a shout. Contact her. Let's get on the right track. Our theme for this year is getting healthy physically and financially. And we just talked about a portion of the physical part, which is our health. We're going to be talking about mental health in the coming weeks. Is also a part of health. We're going to talk about financially because we kind of touched on it early on when we talked about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King piece, that his struggle was not only racial, but it was also economical. So it's important for us to be emphasizing financial health as well as our physical health, because that ultimately provides us the anonymity, not necessarily anonymity, but the autonomy that we need in order to live our best life. Again, you're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. Now, remember to join us next week. We're going to be having another very special guest on. And so I would really encourage you to tune in. And don't forget to bookmark our site, to visit the blog at tailormadetalkradio.blogspot.com. We will have all of the information about Carol out there, our upcoming guest out there. So please go out there to the blog and check us out. Now, until next time, remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook. Carol, I really appreciate you joining us today. And
thank you so much for having me. I hope somebody got something out of that and, you know, they'll take some action.
All right.
And again, for you, if you have questions in your path, on your journey, I'm here. Just
I will definitely give you a call. All right.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.